Now I'm gonna, you can go ahead. You got it going? You got, you wrap him? All right, I'm gonna read quite a bit here, so you bear with me and just read with me. I believe it would be a blessing to us. Philippians chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Really, there are three things in verse 6 there. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything, and be thankful for anything. Don't worry about one thing. Pray about everything, and be thankful for anything. Now, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, as I read verses like this, I think in terms of the idea presented, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, you are, we are what we think. Whatever my mind dwells on all the time, that's what I'm going to be. If I dwell on the things of God, if I dwell on pure things, if my thoughts, if I control my thoughts, as Paul said that he did. Hold on the passage and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, think proper thoughts. You are what you think. In other words, if you dwell on something in your mind, if you continuously think on those things, that's the thing that you're going to be. I think in terms of man that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. tells about. He said that fella was walking along one day by the bank. He went by the bank every day on the work, on his way to work and then back home. As he walked along there, looked in the window. He thought to himself, you know, it wouldn't be too hard to break into this bank. And I wouldn't do a thing like that, but I can see where, well, okay. And he goes on. And then in the afternoon he came back and he looked in that window again. He said, you know, I can see where a fella could go there and he could do this and go around and... Well, that bank be easy to break. I would not, no way would I even think of a thing like that. But and he goes on home. Next morning he goes back and he stayed a little longer before that window. And he thought about it some more. And he found himself thinking about it all day long. I wouldn't do it, of course. He came back in the afternoon and he begins to form a plan in his mind which he wouldn't carry out. But he's thinking it through. And he goes on home. And at night he found that going to sleep he's thinking about that. And then the next day, and this went on, and you know what happened? He broke in that bank. That's it. Well, don't think on things that are out of the way and wrong and whatever. Think on things that are pure. Cast down imagination and bring your mind under control. Why, folks, your mind will just run hither and yon and just back and forth. You're to control your thoughts. You're to control your mind. God Almighty expects it of you, but that isn't all. There's a day coming when you will look back and you'll say, I wish I had. I wish I'd have done that. All right, back in Philippians again, chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherefore, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now if I had a text, my text would be Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The idea is presented today by preachers that I can build great big church buildings. I can buy a lot of buses to put on the ministry and on and on. But that isn't the context. In the context, it's suffering need or abounding. In other words, I can suffer need through Christ which strengtheneth me. But what Paul is really saying, I can abound. Can you? Hey, if you've got it made and you begin to, things begin to go your way and whatever, can you abound through Christ which strengtheneth you? That is, can you control the urge to go overboard just because money is available? A lot of times people, they get along real good with the Lord until they start making a little bit of money. And when the money starts coming in, they don't know how to curb the urge and the lust and the desires to just spend money and be wasteful with it and fulfill the lust of the flesh. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you know how to abound through Christ which strengtheneth you? Well, look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 8, make it 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And I'll guarantee you that's true. Hey, I could just count on my fingers instances today where that has taken place that I know about. They that will be rich fall into all this stuff. I mean, I don't know of a case otherwise. God said it. That's the way it is. It happens every time. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, for which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I can tell you people right now that just did wonderful. I mean, they just trusted the Lord and they got along. And I mean, they didn't have a whole lot of money, but everything just, the Lord blessed them and whatever, and they wanted to be wealthy. Always in the back of their mind was the desire for money. We need more money. I want to make more money. I need this and I need that and I wish we had this. And boy, if we just had that. But it takes money to get it, and so we got to get the money. And the love for money is the root of all evil. And you know why? They pierce themselves through with many sorrows. There's many a family up and down this country right now that have children that have been pierced through with many sorrows because the mothers and daddies thought that they had to just supply everything the child wanted, no matter what, and just lay it on him and everything, and the child has been spoiled and ruined and destroyed. The love for money is the root of all evil. Come down to verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And you know something? I believe that God Almighty is going to bring a crash. I believe He's going to just jerk the rug right out from under people. You know, there's some people that the rug is made out of dollar bills, and God's just going to jerk that dollar bill right out from under them. Charge them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded, not to trust in those riches. And there are people that are trusting the God of America today, which is the dollar bill. And the dollar bill is phony. The dollar bill's going right down the drain. The dollar bill is no good anymore. And God's going to jerk it right out from under people. People say, well, I just don't know how to trust the Lord. You better start finding out. So I got a good job. It may not last. And even if it does, you may not get anything for doing the work. Trust in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Look in verse 18. That they do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, notice, strengtheneth me. Turn to Matthew. I'm sorry, make it Mark. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark 9 verse 23. Taking it right out of its context. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Get a grip on that now. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Turn, please, to Matthew. Take Matthew chapter... I'm sorry. Make it Mark. Ain't no need to go to Matthew. Mark, same passage in Mark 11. Take Mark 11. Now, Jesus Christ, on his way into Jerusalem, cursed a fig tree. The fig tree dried up. Now, in verse 20. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, watch it, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And folks, there's a lot of other things that are hinge on all this about praying in the will of God and so forth, and that's not what my message is about. My message is about I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. In other words, the whole thing has to do with having faith in God. If thou say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and doubt not in thine heart. The whole thing hinges upon doubting in your heart. Well, of course, I wouldn't say to a mountain, be get removed and cast into the sea. I don't believe that I can say to a mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. But there are certain things that I believe pertaining to God and pertaining to prayer, and see them come to pass. I claim them and they come to pass. But there are certain things that are dispensational in this Bible that I do not claim, because I know I'd just be butting my head against the law. Therefore, I don't try to claim things that God Almighty never told me I could claim. But there's one thing, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things are possible to them that believe. What is the strength? Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start reading in verse 14. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. They would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. People say that's a contradiction. How can you know that which is beyond knowledge? Well, you know it by the Spirit in the inner man. You don't know it in the flesh. You don't know it in the carnal mind. You know it in the spiritual mind. There's a carnal mind and there's a spiritual mind. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is the power that worketh in us? Go back to chapter 1. I'm going to have to cut into the verse in chapter 1, verse 20. I'm sorry, make it 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Paul's praying that we might know this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. In other words, the might and the power that we're dealing with is the same might and the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, put him through the principalities and powers far above all that, and set him at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. That power, that strength, that might is available to the believer. Now, there's something you must understand about this. I'm not saying that there's a feeling inside. I'm not saying that there's that you're going to be able to lay hands on somebody and bingo like that, they're going to be healed. Are you going to say a certain thing that's going to happen and on that way? I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that there's a power that you're going to experience inside of you, and when you begin to experience that, you just, you know, do great, powerful things. No. This is a quiet, sensible thing that never brings glory and honor to men. For instance, notice the might and the power and the strength that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. For instance, say that this is the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Well, what about it? Back here in the Old Testament scriptures, we'll say this represents the Old Testament scriptures in the written Word of God. You understand that? Written Word of God is a prophecy of His death. In the written Word of God is a prophecy of His burial. In the written Word of God is a prophecy of His resurrection. In the written Word of God is a prophecy of His ascension. In the written Word of God is a prophecy of His second coming. I mean, everything that is accomplished on Calvary is based upon that which is written. There is no power that you can have in your life that isn't written down in the Bible and to you as a member of the body of Christ. And don't you forget that. But any power that's available to you has to do with the written Word of God. You want power in your life? You want strength in your life? Then get the Word of God in you. Memorize it. The mind is like a file cabinet. Pull out the files of your mind, run your fingers through those files, take out the garbage and throw it in the garbage can where it belongs, and stick the Word of God in there. Then when somebody asks you about this or that or the other, when you come to a decision, you need to make that decision, you just run through the file of your mind and pull out the Word of God and see what God said and get on with it. Hey folks, I know what I'm talking about. There is a power available to every saint in this room, and we do not take advantage of that. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think by His power that worketh in us. What is that power? It's the Word of God. By the Word of God, Jesus Christ went to Calvary. By the Word of God, He died. By the Word of God, He went in the tomb. By the Word of God, He rose. By the Word of God, He ascended. It's the Word of God, folks. Get the Word of God in you. Why people are sitting around lazy and dull and just fooling around the garbage and the things of this world, thinking on wealth, thinking on money, how can I make more money, how can I do this, and how can I do that, and they're powerless to get anything done when they've got available in a King James Bible all the power available in this world and do nothing about it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, we turn on the radio and we hear some fellow that it sounds like he's chasing a coon, you know, or something. Everybody, as he's preaching, you know, and he gets that thing up a tree and trees him up there and on, and he's talking about the power, and on the thing goes, and we say, well, I wish I had that in my life. Well, you can't have that, and neither does he have it. Just forget it. He's being phony. Folks, I don't like you to talk about other people's religion. I'm sorry about that. Jesus ran the other people's religion right into the ground. So did Paul. So does God. And if you don't like it, you need to get right with God. While the religions of this world are sending more people to hell than liquor and booze and cigarettes ever dreamed of. People say, I don't believe in talking about their religion. I do. And if you let me know about one that I don't have already, I'll talk about that one. The most damnable thing that a child ever got into was being carried to a Sunday school in a church where there's some knucklehead standing there preaching for his own glory and teaching for his own glory and training that child to walk in the footsteps of the God of this world while that child thought that he was serving the Lord. And a mom and daddy that lets them do it. My God, what is this thing coming to, folks? I mean, since when do you turn your children over to the devil and just let the devil run the lives of your children? I don't care whether it be in a religious system or whether it just be in the world out there. Say, I love my child. Do you? My Bible says that if you love your child, you beat him with a rod. You know, we've come down to the place today that it's almost dangerous for a father to whip his child. Why? Somebody will scream child abuse. That's right. I mean, you take that child by his left hand, take a belt in the right hand, and just about lift him off the floor with that belt three or four times, and somebody starts screaming, child abuse! Child abuse! Take your children away from him. Turn them over to some organization that will damn them for life with some religious shenanigans that they had no business knowing in the first place. Oh, yeah. Well, if you love your child, bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord the best you can. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. I'm saying that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, though. Five things I want to refer to. Number one, I can believe and understand the truth through Christ which strengthens me. That is, notice, salvation. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And bless your soul, them who are walking after the flesh, trying to save their souls by fulfilling the desires of the flesh, are condemned. Let me show you what I'm saying. Verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Come down to verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. He's not saying there that if you live after the flesh in the sense of smoking and drinking and carrying on, but if you stop doing that, you're going to live. Well, I know people that don't smoke and drink and dance and go to honky-tonks and play cards and on and on, and they died. Well, there's something else in the verse. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And if you think for one moment that I'm trying to glorify smoking and dancing and playing cards and saying that's all out in the eyes of God, you've got another thought coming. I'm just saying that stopping doing that won't get you into glory. Galatians chapter 5. Notice verse 16. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, folks, the context, the lust of the flesh, is the desire to be circumcised and keep the law. In other words, the Judaizers went to the Galatians and said, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you can't be saved. And these Galatians then said, okay, we'll do that. These Galatians who had the gospel preached to them, these Galatians who had been shown the truth of salvation, turned from the liberty they had in Christ and put them under themselves under the bondage of the law as a fulfillment of the lust of the flesh. Why? Illustration. There have been many a person that heard the message of grace and saw the grace message and saw the truth of rightly dividing the word of truth, but the powers that be were too strong against them, and they left that grace message and joined the Baptist, Methodist, or Presbyterian church because of the persecution. That's a lust of the flesh, folks. Well, I mean, if a person knew that the denominational system of this world was an enmity against God, and if they knew that God was not happy with the religious system of this world and the denominational system, why would they want to join that thing? Lust of the flesh. Why, there's been many a businessman that walked down the aisle, you know, walked out for Jesus while the pianist played softly, just as I am, without one plea. That fellow walked down there and joined that church and got baptized because he wanted the authority of the church behind him. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. That is, you listen to me, if you're trying to save your soul by being good, you're condemned, you're just going to go to hell. That's just all there is to it. If you're trying to save your soul by joining the church and getting baptized and keeping the commandments and not smoking and not drinking and not dancing and not playing cards and not going to the honky-tonks and not doing bad things and attending church regularly and joining some social organization and on and on, you're just condemned. That's all there is to it. Well, how can you be saved? You can be saved by trusting Christ your Savior and nothing else. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, what did Jesus Christ do? The Bible said that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What can I do? I can believe and understand the truth of the gospel through Christ which strengthens me. Folks say, I just don't understand that. Isn't it fascinating? I've seen a number of people that have a King James Bible. They lay the King James Bible down for the good news to modern man. Say, why you got that thing? Well, I just couldn't understand that King James Bible. Well, do you understand that one? I had there's a meeting that was arranged one time out at Brother Jones' home here with some people. And I met out there, and the whole thing had to do with the King James Bible. I hear a bunch of people that they believe that the King James Bible is full of errors and everything, and they were studying a new translation. I said, okay, let's try something. How many people in here know what the gospel is? Nobody did. Finally, after I discussed it, then some people said they knew it all the time. No, that's amazing. I said, what is a gospel? Several people told me, nobody told me what the gospel was. Well, if they couldn't understand a King James Bible, but if that new translation was so understandable, why didn't they find out in there what the gospel is? I said, what's a mystery? Well, nobody knew. Well, I know, and I didn't find it in the Good News to Modern Man, or the New English, or the Moffat, or the Williams. I didn't find it in any of the new translations. Where did I find it? In a King James Bible. I know what the mystery is. Got it out of the book right here. It's English, folks. Hey, this ain't Greek or Hebrew. It's English. What do you need a new translation for? So to clutter up your mind. Cause you to doubt the Word of God. That's why. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can believe and understand the truth. And then I can understand the blessings of God. I can believe and understand the blessings of God through Christ which strengthens me. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know what my blessings are. Do you know what yours are? Hey, folks, I know what my inheritance is. Do you know what yours is? Well, I just asked some Bible classes that this past week. I asked a whole Bible class, tell me what's your inheritance. I didn't find out. Not one of them told me. I went to another Bible class. I said, what's your inheritance? They didn't tell me. You know what your inheritance is? I know what mine is. You know what your blessings are? I know what mine are. You know what your rewards are? I know what mine are. You know what you're going to be doing in eternity? I know what I'm going to be doing in eternity. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can understand the blessings of God through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, folks, I'm trying to show you here the things laid out for you in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, the mystery of verse 7, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's what I'm talking about now. I can understand the things that God hath prepared for me. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can believe and understand the truth of the gospel of Christ. I know about my salvation. I know when I was saved, how I got saved, who saved me, what he saved me from, and what he saved me unto. And I can understand my blessings through Christ which strengthens me. Number two, I can confess the truth through Christ that strengthens me. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You're aware, of course, that confess is to say with your mouth. Okay, I can say with my mouth what these things are. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Well, I can call Jesus Christ Lord by the Holy Ghost because I have the Holy Ghost. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can confess with my mouth my salvation. I can confess my blessings with my mouth. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In Romans 10, verse 6. Romans 10, 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now we're discussing the righteousness that a man gets by faith, not by works. Now come to verse 8. But what saith it? That is the righteousness that is of faith. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now bless your soul, the Bible tells me in verse 8 that the word is nigh me, the word is in my mouth and in my heart. Therefore, if the word of God is in my mouth and in my heart, I can confess with my mouth that which is in my heart. Say to somebody, you say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, what do you think then? Well, I believe I am. What makes you believe you are? And keep on after a while, they say, well, Brother Moore, I'm not as good with words as you are. Come on. Hey, if you knew the way from here to your home, somebody said, how do you get to your home? You could say with your mouth how you got there, couldn't you? I've said to people, have you ever received Jesus Christ, your Savior? They say, well, I don't know for sure if I have or not. I say, well, you married? Yeah, I'm married. You know when you got married? Well, sure I know. I was there, ought to. Why, when the preacher said, do you take this man or this woman to be whatever it is you're taking him or her to be? I said, I do. I confess with my mouth. Hey, if you know when you got married and confessed it with your mouth, then if the word is nigh you, in your mouth and in your heart, the word of salvation, why can't you say that with your mouth? I can tell you why you can't say it with your mouth if you can't. Because it ain't there. Because if it were there, you could say it. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Heaven. That's the problem. Why, this Bible is very clear. I can confess with my mouth that which is in my heart. Why, the Bible tells me about some things that are in the heart. It tells me there's adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and murdering and all that stuff in the heart. Hey, I don't know anybody can't say that. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Folks, I can confess the blessings that are mine with my mouth. Now, there's a blessing. There's some blessings that I can confess salvation. I can confess needs. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We'll hold up here just a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, I can say that. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. I know he's able. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, I can confess that with my mouth. Now, here's the point. The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. I can confess Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. How can I do that? Because the word of God said that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and that he rose again for my justification. Now I can say with my mouth, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I can say that. The word is nigh me. It's in my mouth and my heart. Now, the word of God tells me that God's able to make all grace abound toward me, that I always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I can say that and I can claim that. I can confess that God is going to make his grace abound toward me. I can confess Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I can confess that with my mouth. That's a blessing that's mine in Christ Jesus. The word is nigh me. It's in my mouth and in my heart. The word of faith that Paul preached, it's there, and I can say it, and I can claim it. But how about healing? Can I confess healing? No, I can't. How about if I get sick? What should I do? Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Well, can I call for the elders of the church and let them anoint me with oil praying over me? No. Why can't I? Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. I am a Gentile in the dispensation of grace, and in the dispensation of grace, I have no promise of healing from God. Therefore, I can't confess that with my mouth. I can't claim that and confess that. Why? It's not a problem. The word is not nigh me in my mouth and in my heart that God will heal me if I let somebody lay their hands on me. That is not there. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm trying to rightly divide the word of truth. Well, the word of truth, rightly divided, does not say to me that I have healing by somebody praying over me or laying their hands on me. Therefore, I can't confess that with my mouth. But I can confess with my mouth the blessings that are mine in Christ Jesus. God said He'd supply the need. I can tell you that God's going to supply my need. God said He gave Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for my sin. I can tell you that I'm saved. God said that I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. I can tell you that my inheritance in Christ Jesus is secure and that I'm sealed by the Spirit of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can believe and confess the truth with my mouth through Christ which strengtheneth me. Then the third. Must be an evil spirit walking around back there. The third. I can do the work of the ministry that God called me to through Christ which strengtheneth me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. Well, I have a ministry. God Almighty gave me a work. He gave me a ministry, and I can perform the work of the ministry through Christ with strength. Illustration. I was working at Brook to Field in Mobile when I got saved. I didn't know one thing about this Bible. I heard a man preach out at Ladd Stadium. I went out there and sat down and listened to that fella. He said, Friday night I'm going to preach on seven ducks in muddy water. I sat there and I thought about that thing. I could just see seven little old ducks swimming around in muddy water. I thought, what in the world could this fella, where could there be any message out of seven ducks swimming in muddy water? He preached on Naaman, who was told to dip himself seven times in the Jordan River. But I didn't know that. But anyway, I trusted the Lord as my Savior. July the 22nd, 1955. I went home and memorized the verse of Scripture. I started memorizing Scripture, worked at Brook to Field. And I witnessed to people at Brook to Field, but that didn't all. A man, and I haven't got time to tell you how it came about, but through a foreman out at Brook to Field, I had the privilege of teaching on Brook to Field every morning before work. And I'd have anywhere from 30 to 50 men out there. And I taught out there without really knowing a whole lot of Scripture. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God Almighty gave me the grace and God gave me the wisdom to do the job that needed to be done at that time. You know why? Because them people I was teaching didn't know anything. Therefore, whatever I knew was more than that which they had already. And I got along. Then I quit there. God called me to do another work and I went to Montgomery. I went to Montgomery to establish a rescue mission. I went up there just like a country boy right out of nowhere. I didn't know from nothing. I didn't know about business. All I knew about was hot rod automobiles, motorcycles, booze and women and that kind of stuff. I'd spent my life trying to build automobiles or fool around with cars and racing them out on the streets and the dirt roads and whatever and drinking booze and wine and telling dirty jokes and everything. And here's this old country boy like that, nothing or nobody, going to Montgomery to establish a rescue mission. Hey, I didn't know from nothing. I got up there and walked them streets up there, and I'm sure that those businessmen that I contacted must have thought, boy, this here is a country duty if I ever saw. This is one redneck. But you know what? By the grace of God, I got the thing organized and 12 men on the board of directors, and in December 1958, opened the rescue mission, and the first man got saved in an old beat-up, sorry, dusty, stinky building down on Commerce Street. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I went from there with that rescue mission up on Madison Avenue, and we had hundreds of men come through that rescue mission, and many of them were saved by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And then a businessman in Montgomery decided he'd close us down. The Ministerial Association in Montgomery, Alabama was against me, and the Downtown Business Association was against me. And don't you tell me about persecution. Here's that old dumb country boy up there in Montgomery, Alabama that knows nothing, that suddenly had everything thrown at me. Why, there was a petition drawn up against me, and there were hundreds of people in Montgomery signed that petition to run me out of Montgomery, and I wouldn't go. And so what they do, they brought a suit against me. And I sat in the court. I sat up there in that chair, and a little old Jew lawyer stuck his finger up there right at the end of my nose and yelled and screamed at me and said, "Answer me, yes or no," and I wouldn't do it. I had a New Testament there with me, and I'd read a verse out of the Bible. And that little old Jew would do everything but do flip-flops out there. He'd get red in the face and jump up and down and call on the judge to make me answer. And I'd say, "But Judge, I cannot answer yes or no. I must," and he'd let me elaborate. And I'd tell him how it went. And you know what? Hey, they worked me over, buddy. I'm telling you. They jerked the rug off from under me. They closed that rescue mission down, and to top it all off, when they did, the board of directors joined the bird gang. They took off. I was telling my wife the other night on the way back home in Montgomery, "You know something? A man that was a lawyer could have done something for us there then. He wouldn't do it." You know why he wouldn't do it? Because he knew that if he stood up for the truth, the Downtown Business Association would jerk the rug out from under him. And that's why all the businessmen flew. And so I had a 3-story building over there on Clayton Street at that time with furniture on every floor. And I had to get out of there in 1 week's time. Are you listening to me? I had to get every stick of that furniture out of that 3-story building within 1 week with nowhere to put it. But to top all that off, my wife's mother died during that time. There was things on the 3rd floor. We had couches and stuff up there for those men to sit in that I went to the window and pushed them out the window and watched them crash against the sidewalk and then loaded them on a pickup truck and carried them to the dump. I had to get out of there. I had to rent a house, and I had to find one that I could store that stuff in, and I found the house and stored that stuff in it. And later on, a youth camp opened up in Mobile, Alabama, and I gave them the beds for their youth camp. And right now, if you call my name among the preachers that are in that youth camp over there, that run that youth camp, they'd spit. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I know what it is to go through hell on this earth. I know what it is to have lawyers and judges and all that kind of stuff just take it out on you, and you don't know where to turn. I turn to the Lord. And I got right down to the place. I left Montgomery with an old DeSoto automobile with a knot on the tire, right front tire that was going bump, 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 bump. And I got down there about 5 or 6 miles outside of nowhere, and that thing went bah! I pulled over. I had nothing. And would you believe as a fellow just come along there and just stopped and got me a tire and everything. I put that tire on, came on down to Elba, Alabama, pulled into a service station down there. And I said, "I only got so-and-so." I told him how much money I got. And the fellow put me in some gasoline. And he got looking at them tires. That fellow gave me a set of tires, that old car. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I stayed out of there for a while, went back to Montgomery and reorganized the rescue mission. Most fascinating thing you ever heard of in your life. The man that owned the building that we first had the rescue mission in, when they closed me down, I went back to him, and he wouldn't even, no way would he rent me his building again. Well, from the time we moved out of that building until I went back and I got the rescue mission reorganized, I went to that lady and I said, "Ma'am, so-and-so," told her what I was doing. She said, "Brother Moore, I'm so happy to see you." She said, "From the time you left this town and from all that stuff that you went through until now, I've had so many things happen." She said, "My husband died." Her husband is the one that wouldn't rent me the building. She said, "My husband died." And she said, "I spent $7,000 on that building, and I can't rent it. Nobody will rent that building. Will you take it back?" I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know something? There were 6 men that was directly associated with closing the rescue mission down that died. One man had a stroke, and the next morning a heart attack, and he died. One man had cancer in it. The judge, if you please, that pronounced sentence against me, had cancer come in his face, and for 6 months lived horribly and then died. The man that's carried the petition around and started the whole thing, took off in an airplane with his boy, and the thing turned over that way and went right straight in the ground and crashed, and he burned. I could just go on. The newspaper in Montgomery was against me. They had some of the sorriest, rottenest stuff against me in that newspaper, and the man that was the editor of that newspaper died. I could go on and on. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hey, folks, I was ignorant, stupid, didn't know anything, but I had a Savior, and the power of God rested upon me. And it wasn't funny while that's going on. I didn't feel no power. I cried a lot. But you know, there's some fascinating things about all this. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And notice verse 58. Hey, I've claimed this promise for years. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you know what? You can go to Montgomery right now and ask them who established the Montgomery Rescue Mission, and they can't tell you. You know why? I called when I finally left the Montgomery Rescue Mission after we reestablished it. I called a man and I said, I've got so much here, I got such a load. At that time I was running the rescue mission, pastoring a church in Prattville, and building a youth camp up in Autauga County. And I just had so much, I just had to give up on something. And so I called this man, I said, do you know anybody that could come here?